is Samuel Shaib, and I'm documenting my journey from immigrant professional to entrepreneur and highlighting the lessons I have learned from the works of the coaches and mentors who are guiding me. Each week, you will get to hear me share steps I'm taking to build my business, as well as conversations with other successful and like-minded individuals. I bring on these leaders and business owners to tell their stories of success and failure so we can take and apply the lessons they have learned over the years. If you are an internationally trained professional just like me, or an entrepreneur in the early stages of your business, or maybe you are still in your 9-to-5 and probably considering starting your own business and looking for guidance from some of the brightest minds on how to create a lifestyle of freedom, absolute control and fulfillment in life and business, then this is for you. Welcome to the Lead Podcast.
This is the League of Icons. Mine your mind. Be your focus and play by a different set of rules.
Hi, Samuel. Thank you for having me. My name is Mojoyi Tolubalugo. I'm a wife. I'm a mom of two boys. And I landed in Alberta, Canada in January of 2016. So I have been here for about 4.5 years. Just a brief background about myself. So I grew up in Lagos. In 2011, I had a brief bit of a sad event. My mom passed away. She was a nurse. So I'm only saying this because this will affect, you know, my story later in life. So she died at that time and she was 59. She passed away from ovarian cancer. And this was about 2011. So at about 2013, I just got off sort, you know, thinking about what the next steps would be for me in terms of, you know, doing life, because I came to the realization that life is only what you see it at that point in time. Life is only what you make of it at that point in time. And I needed to do more. I needed to see more, you know. So in 2013, I started exploring opportunities to move. Probably because, first thing I would say is because of me. I wanted to move for me. I wanted to do something different. I had become tired of monotonous. I had become tired of complaining, because I feel that if you stay in a spot and you complain and you complain and you don't make active changes to actually change your situation, then you're just going to keep on complaining forever, right? So what I did was take steps to find out how to leave the country at that time. From 2013, fast forward, we did all that to 2016, and we did the Canadian application process, everything, and then we landed here in January of 2016. So when I say we, I mean my husband and my two children and myself. So prior to moving, though, we had sort of like thought about where we were going to stay, because we didn't know anyone in Alberta. We had no family in Alberta, but we had decided to stay in Alberta because I had done a lot of research about provinces to stay in, you know, and things like that. I also had a plan in place as for what I wanted to do when I got here in terms of career. So the company I worked with in Nigeria was a healthcare company. I was the client services manager at the time I resigned, and that opportunity to, you know, I was able to go to a lot of hospitals and see things for myself there. So I sort of like wanted to go down in that healthcare route. My mom was a nurse, my brother is a doctor, so medicine and healthcare has always been in my background right from time. So I knew I wanted to study nursing, because I really did like it. I was passionate about it, but I also knew that it was quite lucrative too as well in this country. So I had already put plans in place. I had researched schools. I had, you know, I already knew what the requirements were. And, you know, and this was all prior to landing. Again, this is going to have an effect later. So I landed in Alberta, and a few days before we're to land, a friend of mine, you know, I just started talking with her. I hadn't seen her in like almost 20 years. We went to secondary school together, and she was like, you know, Omojo, you're coming to Alberta, you don't know anybody, why don't you come to Edgewood? That's where I live. You guys can stay with me for, you know, a couple, for as long as you want, actually, while we find the place. That was her offer. And it was just amazing how that just fell into our laps, because what I had planned for was, you know, at least do maybe rent a place or stay in a hotel. Then I don't think Airbnb wasn't, I don't think they were out then, or it wasn't as popular. So we're thinking maybe hotel for a week and then we find a place and things like that. But my friend offered you know, to put us up for as long as we wanted. And then another friend offered to pick us up from the airport. So this made the landing process itself actually smooth for us when we came in. So we were picked up from the airport and we stayed in my friend's house, you know, for that period of time. So in February, my husband went back home because he had to like go finish work and, you know, things like that, while I stayed with the children. And that's where my, you know, Canadian journey sort of like begun. So I lived in Airdrie from January till about July. I started working on getting the requirements I needed to start my nursing program. And by July, I had gotten admission to start the pre-nursing courses in Lethbridge. So for those who don't know, Airdrie is about 15 minutes from Calgary, and Lethbridge is down south, further, about 2.5 hours down south. So that would have meant moving away from Airdrie to go to school in Lethbridge. So my boys and I, we packed up and then we moved to Lethbridge. So I started school. It wasn't easy because I was working. I did a work from home job. I was working for a telecommunications company, but I had all the assistants at home in my house. So I was able to work at home. My kids were in school and daycare, and I was able to also go to school to start my pre-nursing courses. So the pre-nursing courses was for a year. And then in 2017 of September, I got the admission into the actual nursing program. It was supposed to be a 2-year course, and it's a 2-year course because I already had a bachelor's degree from Nigeria. So that's the way it works. If you already have a bachelor's degree from anywhere in the world in any course, all you have to do is take the pre-nursing requirements, and then if you get accepted, you start the nursing program. So that was what I did. I then started the actual nursing program, and it was a great learning curve, not because I was older, but also because the way school was done in Nigeria was totally different from the way school was. But I pride myself on the fact that I'm easily adaptable. I'm very open to change. So if I know that this is what is working in this part of town, I adapt, I learn and adapt to it. You know, that way I don't place obstacles in my way that are, you know, not needed or that are necessary at that time. So I finished the nursing program in 2019. My work from home job, I stopped it, say about a year into the nursing program because I just couldn't do it anymore. And I felt it wasn't, it didn't make financial sense. It was minimum wage, but I was sort of like stressed because I needed to pay attention in school. It was full time. I was always rushing back to do that. So what I did was I just did some, you know, financial readjustments. Of course, I took the student loan to also help pay for the school, pay for my books and everything. But I just did the math and thought that it wasn't worth my time and stress keeping the work from home job. So I didn't work for about a year. But then what happened was that when you go into final year in nursing school, you're able to work as an undergraduate nurse in any hospital. So what I did was I looked for hospitals that I had done my clinicals, and I walked into managers to go ask them if I could start working as an undergraduate nurse. And one of the hospitals that I had worked as, I had done my clinicals in was a Christian Hospital in Alberta. And the manager was just, hey, yeah, sure, come and interview and we'll hire you. And that was how I got my position at Carson Hospital as an undergraduate nurse. So I'd actually been working as an undergraduate nurse before I graduated. And it's actually, when you start working as an undergraduate nurse, the pay is actually almost double minimum wage. So that made more sense to me, you know, rather than doing a work from home. I was working in my field, I was getting the practice needed, you know, so that I'll be more confident even when I graduate and start working. So I graduated from nursing in October of 2019, so that was just last year. And yeah, it's been a year now. I've been nursing for a year, and of course, you know, with the after graduation, you have to think about how to pay off the student loans and things like that, right?
Yeah.
So, but I wasn't actually thinking about, you know, starting a business, because to me, the idea of being a business owner was very foreign to me. I never had anyone that I know close to me own a business. My parents never owned a business. I just did not know where to start or how to start. But I started looking at the future. So I saw senior nursing colleagues.
Marjorie, before you go into that, before you go into your story about the owner, your business, I really must say that I arrived in Canada in 2016 as well, so probably mm-hmm. about the same time with you.
Right.
But I really must say that of all the people, of all the immigrants I've spoken with since I arrived mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. you are like one of the very few that sounds to me like you had a clear path, a clear plan. You didn't just arrive in this country not knowing what you wanted to do. You sound like you've arrived here and you hit the ground running with a clear plan and a decision of how to act. And that's totally inspiring to me, because from all you have said, it hasn't been like you dabbled into one or two things. You came in, you knew what you were doing, and you headed straight for it. And I mean, I think that's an awesome thing to, because I didn't know this about you. I mean, before that, probably we've never met. And this is the first time I'm actually speaking for this length. And I totally did not have this background story about you. And a lot of times when I schedule this interview sessions, I try not to know so much so that I'm also listening to you for the first time, like every other person would be when they listen to your story. And I mean, it's amazing because, as you were speaking, there are some things I wrote down here. Even up to when you start, before you started your business, it appeared to me that there were certain principles that played out in what you achieved. First, you had the relationship that, you know, you had a network of people that were willing to accept you in. So there's a key learning path for building the right relationships. You had mm-hmm. someone that was really willing to, you know, to take you in and, you know, told you you could stay for as long as you wanted. Same thing mm-hmm. applied to me. I'd never been to North America before. When I arrived in Canada, it was my first time in North America. And the family that mm-hmm. took me in was a family I'd never met. And, you know, they took me in for like 3 months. You know, they found this place that I moved into. So it was amazing for me. And you came in ready to equip yourself. You knew what you wanted to do. You had done your research. You came in. So it wasn't like you landed and you were wondering, okay, so what next? You came with a clear plan. And mm-hmm. it's totally obvious how that has impacted your journey and, you know, where you have taken it to up until now. So you said when you started your online business, it was, I mean, before you even started business, you had never, it was foreign to you, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's because coming from where we came from Nigeria, where we've come from, mm-hmm. I'm doing this. I totally never knew anybody that done something like this. My father, my parents obviously didn't have a business as well. So
right.
when I started my journey, my business, there was a lot of roadblocks because I'd never done this. I'd never met anyone that had done this. So I didn't have a plan. I was just doing hit and miss. Right? So for you, how did you even dabble into it in the first place?
Well, so that's the thing. So I'm still going to speak to, you know, even just before I came here. I think because I don't take any decision lightly, right? I know that every decision that you make impacts your life, you know, either positively or negatively, and you have to plan for all the possibilities. And I think I would allude that ethic to my husband because that's sort of the way he operates, right? So even before I moved here, you know, I told you that I started in 2013, like researching.
Right.
So I took about a year to even just research the country alone. Mm. I felt like I knew Canada even when I hadn't even been to Canada at all, right? So that's basically what, you know, why it was so long. So a lot of people think that when I moved in 2016, a lot of people thought that, what, you just got up and I said, no, I didn't just get up and move. I have been planning this for 3 years now. I had a book where I wrote down everything, and I kid you not, in fact the book is still here. I have everything.
I think I have mine somewhere as well.
Because I wrote everything down meticulously, what would work, what
right.
career options are available to me, what I could do in the quickest time possible, what will take the longest, you know, everything. And not just me as well, also my husband, my children, because these are people who are connected to me as well. I had planned for every possibility and every outcome. So it's the same thing about this business. Now, it didn't just sort of fall into my lap. Again, it speaks to the network of people that you have. So I found this business opportunity through a friend of mine. She had introduced me to it about a year ago. But then again, I had to take, of course, you know, I took my time. You know, I had to do research. She had already done her research and she was in the business and I trusted her. That's another thing. Yes, you can have a network of friends, but who exactly do you trust in terms of decisions that you're going to take in your life? So that also plays another important factor. So I trusted her. She had done her research. I did mine, you know, and I looked at it in terms of owning an online business and owning like a regular brick and mortar business. The only other thing I could have done would have been maybe start up my own healthcare aid, company, or start up a healthcare educational course that, you know, because most people do that. They rent out a building, they get certified by the government, they're able to teach people who want to go into the health. I think in Ontario it's called personal support worker or something like that. We call them healthcare aides here in Alberta. Okay. You know, so those are the options. Or the another option was a franchise opportunity in the restaurant business. So say a Tim Hortons or a McDonald's or things like that. And I know myself, I don't have the stomach for employees and staffing. I do not have the stomach for running a building or, you know, doing all those things, leases and things like that. I could learn it, but I didn't want something that would, you know, take up more time. I'm already working 8-hour shifts, you know, 5 times a week at work. I needed something that I could do at the same time as work. If I opened or went through one of these routes, I would have had to sacrifice my nursing, which I don't want to. I'm quite passionate about it. So that's how I came to the conclusion about owning online. Another thing that motivated me was it was also going to be more expensive to set the brick and mortar up. And I didn't have those kinds of funds. I already had debt from student loan. I didn't want to go into, you know, more debt in starting up a business and everything like that. So that was why I saw, again, had my little notepad, checking everything out, you know, and this online business ticked all the boxes for me. It's something that I can do at any time. And, you know, I've set it up in a way that in the long run, with every business, you know, people are always like looking for instant returns, more so with anything online. They always feel that if it's online, you should get it instantly. But unfortunately, that's why they think that way, because of online scams that have come up in the past.
Right.
Things like multi-level marketing, pyramid schemes and things like that. But that's not how this works. It's a business like any other business that's going to take time. So even if I started a franchise business, year one, year two, I'm not going to make any money.
Sure.
Because I know that the foundation is what I'm working at, and that's what this online business is going to do for me too. It's in the long run, I hope it's going to replace my current nursing income. And, you know, and while I'm doing that, I'm working right now. I'm doing that business. I can do it from my phone. The world is going digital. So my phone, laptop, those are the tools that I need to run this business. And I find that it's my fifth month in the business, and I'm totally happy about it. I'm all for it. I'm still nursing. I have my own business. And yeah, so it sort of all worked out for me, like in the end. But people need to understand that a lot of factors have also played into my journey so far. So coming here alone, I didn't allow those negative thoughts to sort of creep into my head. I believe mindset is also a very important thing when you're doing life, because what you are, what you think.
Absolutely.
And if you allow, you know, negative thoughts to creep in and tell you can't do certain things, you will not do those things. So mindset is important. I believe in what you put out in the universe is what the universe gives back to you. I read, there's a book that I read almost like once a month at least. It's called The Magic. It's actually perfect when it comes to resetting, you know, mindsets and things like that. So listening to people, I know when I came here first, people were like, oh, they want to come to Canada, they want to move. I asked them, the first thing I asked them is, why do you want to move? Are you moving because other people are moving, or you are moving because you want to fulfill XYZ? You know, so I always try to listen out for people like that who do that. And more often than not, it's because they want to follow the trend of people who are moving. Because moving to any country, even if it's not Canada, even if you are moving from Nigeria to Ghana, it requires the same, you know, the same approach as it will be if you're moving to Canada. You have to be prepared. You have to do your research. You have to hear from people who have done it before. Of course, it's that hearing and not just taking it as the Bible. That's another thing too. People come here and they fall into the wrong hands in terms of they only listen to one person and they do that thing that person goes. For example, I have a friend who told me that if he was driving a taxi cab in, say, the States, anybody that was coming to join him as his family member, they all started driving taxi cabs because that was the only thing they knew.
Absolutely.
That was the only thing they knew. And I find that really, you know, strange. Like, you should be able to, you know, make decisions for yourself by looking at all the opportunities that are possible and never limit yourself. I always tell people, don't limit yourself by what you think of yourself or what other people think of you, because you never know what you're capable of. For instance, I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would graduate as a nurse. A lot of people told me, oh, it's so hard. You can't finish the course. No, the first obstacle was people said I would never get in. Yes, I kid you not. People said I would never get into the university. And I'm like, why won't I get in? Some people say, oh, they don't take blacks. Some people say, oh, they are racists. You never rank up. But I know that's not true. The University of Lethbridge only has limited spots because it's a small university. At the time when I got in, they only took 27 students. And I was one of the 27 students. And not only was I the only black person, we were two black people in my set. So I don't know where people get this idea from that if you're black, you're already... I know racism is real. I know there is, but I don't allow racism to stop me from trying. Let me try first and then know that, okay, yes,
I tried.
It's because I'm black. That's why they didn't take me. Not because I didn't get in, because I thought that I wouldn't get in. Yeah. So I never allowed that to bring me down. Same thing, I entered the school. The same people who talked about me not getting in all went silent. I graduated the school. Same people were aware. When I graduated, they were like, oh, no, you can never apply to certain hospitals. They'll never take you. This is same Nigerians, you know, in the same course. Oh, no, they will never take you. They don't hire. They've never hired the black. I said, who told you? I work in two hospitals right now in Southern Alberta. I work in the hospital here in Lethbridge, and I still have my position in Cardston in hospital till today. And that's where they said that I would not get in. And I'm there right now.
It plays back to, you know, your initial point of the network of people that you associated with when you first arrived. It goes a long way to, I think it was about 2 years ago, we had this, you know, we wanted to have this in-person gathering just to kind of meet ourselves. Because for a lot of us, we'd only had known ourselves on Facebook, I mean, on WhatsApp. We'd never really met. So we had this gathering, and then there was this guy, he had been here for years. He came, I'm not sure how he got invited, but he came. And all through that meeting, he kept re-emphasizing the fact that we are black. And he had been here for so long before we came. So we kind of tended to listen to him because, you know, we felt, okay, you've been here, you're going to share some wisdom and share some direction with us and help us, you know, channel how we're going to move forward. And he kept re-emphasizing the fact that for as long as we are black, there's certain caps as to what we could possibly achieve. And that's, he was speaking totally from his own experience, because maybe he had faced certain challenges and he probably given up. And he was trying to make us see that, hey, don't set your expectations too high, because they might fall flat. And
wow,
that plays totally to the kind of people that you, the first week I arrived, there was somebody I met. He said to me, well, go and get your boots and get ready to work in the factory. How did you think I feel? Because I was just coming, and if these people are telling me that's where you should head, well, maybe that's where I should head. And actually went to work in the factory. I learned, I think it was less than a week. That's where I headed, because that was who I knew. I'd never been to this country. Going back to you talking about mindset, if you do not have a clear path plan for what you want, people will end up tossing you to and fro. Because I knew what I wanted to do. I felt, okay, if that was my fastest way to get money into my pocket without having to spend my proof of funds, I'm totally ready to do what I needed to do. I arrived first. I didn't come with my family. I wanted to come here, you know, get a place and bring them when everything was all settled. So I didn't mind. So I went there, and because I knew this is who I am today, that's not where I'm going to. So I'll go to work every night telling myself, this is part of the journey.
This is part of the journey.
Because I knew what I had my eyes set on what I wanted to do. So that was, for me, it was just a little distraction or a delay, but I my eyes were set on where I wanted to go. So listening to you tell me this, and this is why I wanted to share this with people, because there's maybe hundreds of thousands of immigrants out there that are also in the same challenge, facing the same challenges, and they're probably giving up on their goals and their dreams. So listening to you share this, it's an amazing opportunity to inspire people. So, Mojoin, what even made you go into online business in the first place? What were your motivations?
Okay, so you know, I talked about my mom passing away at age 59. So when I started working in the hospital, I made a lot of friends who are senior colleagues. I don't know, maybe because I was just drawn to the older nurses because of my mom. And one day, one of my colleagues, she was sitting down at the computer, and she was like, "Oh, that she's actually 30 years with the, you know, with our employer right now." And I'm like, "Oh, wow, congratulations. You know, what are you doing? What are you getting?" I'm like, "Oh, no, nothing. It's just 30 years. And then she was giving an example of people, other people who were actually 40 years with our employer that I knew, but I didn't know they were 40 years. So she was at the computer, and she then asked me about logging in, that she wanted to claim her 30-year, like the gift that the employer, you know, said. I was like, "Oh, what did they give you? What did you get? You know, how much?" She was like, "No, it was a $25 gift certificate to go pick out anything you want on the website. $25
after 30 Samuel, years.
After 30 years. And that was the point that it hit me. Because I was like, I'm not like them. They started nursing when they were like 20, 21, right? I started nursing at age 35. Best that my body can give me is probably the next 20 years.
Wow.
But do I want to put my body through that for 20 years because I want to receive a $25 gift certificate? When I, you know? So it hit me. I was like, if I don't get on to doing something now to make an alternative stream of income for myself, I'm going to be stuck in this rut, and I'm going to find myself in the exact same position as my friend is in right now. $25, she can't retire. She has nothing. She has no, she has a pension, but we all know the pension, really, the pension, the glorious pension is actually, it's not anything to write home about, right? She has nothing. So she has to keep on working. And the people who have worked for 40 years are still working. They're still working. And that's where they intend to work until they are done, like totally done with life. I don't want to be that. I still want to do things. I want to travel. I want to see different places. And the only time I can do that is when I'm young. I'm not going to expect myself to travel when I'm 60 or 65. Because that's the hope. You work, retire at age 60, then you can travel as you don't. No, I want to see the world now. So those were my motivations. Another thing is that my mom worked as a nurse for over 30 years. She was so passionate about her work. She was so into her work and everything that she didn't even realize she was sick. And she was a nurse. So we knew she had cancer, it was already stage 4. So there was nothing we could do about it. She had about a year to live. And we're thankful that we did have a year and a half with her before she passed. But then these things, so her own story, my friend's story, just sort of jolted me. And that's when I gave my friend, who introduced me to the business a year ago, I gave her a call, and then we actually sat down to talk about it. So that was when I realized that I needed to start something no matter what.
Mojo, you're referring to this business. This is, what is this business? Tell us.
Well, so it's basically digital marketing. It's using a new way to sort of attract customers. So you know how the traditional way is, you put up signboards, you put on adverts, you open shop, you expect people to come, you maybe advertise in the newspaper, you do word of mouth adverts to people, you know, left, right, and center. This totally takes away all that. So the world right now is global. There are 2.2 billion online users right now in the online space in the world. Imagine that's a potential of customers right there, just waiting.
At your fingertips.
So what this business teaches you how to do is how to find the right type of product that people need, how to market that right that product, and how to get the right type of people to buy your product. So it all starts with an online webinar, which I always encourage everyone to watch. It's a 90-minute webinar where it tells you, you know, it teaches these three basic concepts about owning an online business. And then after that, if you're interested in, you know, looking further into the opportunity, there's a one-time membership fee that you pay, that you come in, and it's sort of like that fee is sort of like doing your research for you. It's like you come in, you see what the opportunity is, the commission structure, the business model, the franchise structure of the business, and then it's up to you to decide if you want to go ahead or not. More often than not, most people come in and they see that it's actually worth, you know, worth its salt. Yes. So that's the limited amount of information that I can give right now. So you can find me on my website. So it's www.mojoinwande.com. So Mojoin, it's MOJOYINWANDE.com. So that's my website. You go in there, sign up with your name and your email, and you get your unique link to watch the webinar. If you don't want to do that, you can go to my Facebook page. It's called Mojoinwande. It's on Facebook, or you can hit me up with a friend request on my personal profile, Mojoin Balogo. It's also all on Facebook or on Instagram, Mojoinwande on Instagram too as well. Any platform you prefer. Yes, and then just send me a message and we can get talking.
So guys, we'll have the links in the description below the podcast. You also can also access it that way. So you said there's a one-time, like is it an enrollment fee or?
Like a membership fee. And okay. That fee is back with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if within 30 days you feel the business opportunity is not for you, our business community, we actually pride ourselves on integrity. So if within 30 days you decide that, oh, the business isn't for you, ask me for a refund and I will pay you your money back.
Besides the enrollment fee, are there any other fees, you know, down the line? That is that like a regular fee that we need to always invest in, or is that one?
So no, there's no monthly fee. So the initial, of course, there'll be an initial initial capital that you put in. As with any business, which is what I tell people, any business you want to go to, there's an initial investment capital. Now, why you also get a coach that guides you onto how the best way to start, because you know some people have financial limitations. Some people are probably not in the right headspace at this particular time. But what the coach does is just to help you figure out where and how to start. So some people's initial investment may be low, some may be, you know, really high. It all depends on you and what you're able to do.
Are you able to give us like a dollar amount, like a range?
No, unfortunately, okay. Not. I can't, because again, everything is different. So you can start with as little as this low amount or as much as that.
Okay, so in your case, what has the journey of being an online business owner, what has that journey been like for you?
Oh, it's been absolutely amazing. I have learned things I never knew that I could do. I always thought that I was tech savvy, computer savvy, but that's another thing about my online business community. The training that you get all for this $149, all for this membership fee, the training that you get I have never seen a setup as organized and as detailed as this. So it's already set up for you to not fail. It's up to you if you, you know, the dedication, the commitment. It's amazing. I have online business owners from all over the world. So there are people that I haven't even like physically met, but I feel like they're my friends. Like I feel like we're in this together because we're all united by a common purpose. And this is this, you know, online business. We share a lot of tips, share a lot of strategies, you know, to grow the business. And, you know, it's an amazing all around community, but most particularly the training. The training is world-class.
Having listened to your story, what would you say what would you describe as the most important values that you've held, you know, so close to heart to have enabled you navigate this space so far? I mean, coming from Nigeria, having to deal with kids, you went to school 1 year, you went to pre-nursing 1 year, then you went into full nursing, you had full-time job, you had a home to manage. What values would you say have kept you going, over this last couple of years?
I will just say it's the mindset. It's the positive mindset and the attitude. For me, that has been number one. People always ask, why are you always so, you know, impassioned? I'm like, I keep telling you, I am what I am. I am what I think. If I don't put myself in that headspace, everything is going to go, you know, downhill from there. So attitude, mindset. I also believe in being prepared. You cannot do things if you don't know or if you don't research the background of things that you're going into. If that is a big thing that, you know, that really helped me in terms of navigating this journey that I'm on now. So being prepared is absolutely it. Also, networks and relationships. So yes, there are people that play an impact in our lives. So even your experience of the person that told you about like factory and things like that, that was an experience. Yeah. That was a relationship. That because in you going through that, now you know that if you have someone else who's coming, you know how better to deal with a new immigrant based
Absolutely.
On that experience you had with that. So don't push all relationships or all experiences aside or as negative. Yeah. That's also another key thing. And then I also believe in paying it forward too. Now, if I didn't have sort of like the landing experience that I had when I came in, I think I'm the kind of person that whatever landing experience I had, I would have made the best out of it anyway. But I believe that that experience also helped me in no way. There's no way I can explain it. So what I do is that for new people who come, I always make sure that I give them the same experience. So there are people who have reached out to me or reached out to my husband, like out of the blue. There are people who do their research from Nigeria, and then when they type in a Google search and say, well, I don't know, maybe Nigerians in Lethbridge or Nigerians, my husband's name usually comes up. We don't know why, but they reach out to him, and then usually because he's busy, he passes them on to me. So there's a couple who actually came, you know, that we met. We've never known them from Nigeria before, never met them. The wife just gave me a call, told me all this. She was actually very specific with her planning, which is why I was like, wow, like this is someone that, you know, has sort of like has the same mindset. She was very, they had done their homework and everything. And, you know, a call came in. They came and, you know, we picked them up from the stop, the bus stop to their house that they had gotten. We set them up with food items, you know, things like that. Other people that have also come, we've also offered them our
that
place.
Level of help.
There was a couple that came, stayed with us for 6 weeks, you know, before deciding to, you know, like move on and everything. Because I believe that that experience, you know, really does set people on the right path. And I always tell people, you don't have to do what I do. If you're not interested in nursing, don't go for it. Otherwise, you'll be disappointed. There are people that are like, Mojoy, I want to earn. Nursing is very, I said, yes, it's very lucrative, but are you ready for it? Do you know the things I do to earn this money? If nursing is not as glamorous as a lot of people think, it's not just you just wear a uniform and then you give injections and everything. It's a lot more than that. So I always tell them, what do you enjoy? What do you want to do? What's your talent? What's your background? What are you interested? What are you passionate about? And then we take it from there. So for people who come and don't have a plan, that just come and come, these are the questions that I ask them. And then we develop a plan.
Right.
We give options. This is how, what you should do. This is the longest it will take. This is how you should do it. And that, you know, just sort of sets them up for success rather than failure.
Thank you so very much. I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that the mindset piece has been a critical part of your success journey. When I run my coaching program, the very first few weeks, what I do with my clients as well is you know, take them through a mindset shift. And what we are basically doing here is exactly the same thing you're doing, because if they're not in the right headspace, like you said, every other thing doesn't seem to align, because, you know, they don't have a clear understanding of who they are. They have no clear understanding of what they want. So there can absolutely be no way they're able to, you know, craft a plan between who they are today and who they want to become. I had somebody reach out to me sometime, I think it was on Facebook, and this person, you know, had a different career back home in Nigeria. And when she arrived there, I think she also went into nursing because people were saying that's where you could possibly earn some money. And she wasn't finding it funny. And then she reached out to me on there, and she was asking me, what do you think I should do? And exactly the same questions that you say you always ask people. Why are you doing nursing? Is that what you want to do? And the answer was no. And I asked, so why are you doing it?
Exactly.
She said, well, because when I came, people said that's what I should do. I'm like, you better go do what you want to do and live the life that you want to live. And don't end up 20, 30 years from today and you're asking yourself, what if I could have done something different?
That's right. And I also want to speak to, you know, when you had said you worked in the factory and stuff like that, I also missed out the certain part. So while I was in Edgewood, from between January to July of 2016, while I was waiting or working on getting my admission into the University of Lethbridge, before I got my work from home job, I worked in Superstore, and I worked in what was the other place? Yeah, no, it was just Superstore. So it was Superstore and the work from home opportunity. I actually did both of them at the same time. And when I got the Superstore job, people were like, why are you working in Superstore? It's like it's beneath you. I said, no, there's no job that is beneath me. It's a job that's paying my bills. It's absolutely the job that's putting food on my table.
Absolutely.
And I know that doing this is not my end game. Mm. I'm only doing this because it's going to take me through a certain stage. And I need the experience as well. You can't just land in a new society and not interact with the people who are here. Mm. My work from home was, it was solo. It was just me in my room with computers. Yes, granted, I was listening to people at the other end, but it's not the same as actually interacting with the people in the community, you know. And I believe if you want to make a headway in a certain community or you want to, you know, make an impact, start from the bottom. Absolutely. You start from the bottom and walk your way to the top. That way you can say that I have been there, I have done it, you know.
It totally speaks a lot to what we're trying to achieve. I mean, the story or the journey might not be the same for every immigrant. Yeah, some would have had to start from survival jobs. I was on an interview with someone, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. He came in 2016. No, he came in 2018. Mm-hmm. And he started a consultancy and he's earning six figures.
See? Yeah.
I mean, we're not saying you always, when you come, you always have to start from the scratch, but the most important thing and the reason why we share these stories is for you to know the different stages where people are and how they have been able to maximize their potentials to live and create the life that they actually want for themselves.
That's right.
And I'm so grateful that you're blessed us with your time. You've been able to share your story and, you know, help people understand that it's not all roses out there, but you actually need the right mindset. You need a strategic plan for the life that you want to live. And you can absolutely go ahead and create that life for yourself. Mujoyin, thank you so very much for coming on the show. Once again, just tell us where we can find you.
You can always find me on my Facebook page. My Facebook business page is Mujoyin One Day on Facebook. Or you can hit me up with a friend request on Mujoyin Balogun. On my business page, just like, follow. You can share that page too as well. And then you can go to the website. It's www.mujoyinoneday.com. Or you can send me an email at mujoyinoneday@gmail.com.
This is the League of Icons. Mind your mind. Be your focus and play by a different set of rules.